Hey, this is Mike Wilmot with Microsoft. Today in SQL Shorts, I want to cover the always-on availability group configuration. And this is a version of SQL 2012, which is release candidate 0. So it may not be fully baked, but it's going to probably be close to what RTMs in a couple months. So some of the availability group configuration gotchas, or just things to know, is that availability groups leverage Windows Cluster. So to create an availability group, you have to have a Windows cluster set up. I did mine with Hyper-V, and I have several guest machines running in the host. You have to make sure too that if you're copying the host or the guest machines rather, that you could run into an instance where you have the same SID for each of the guests, and that's going to cause problems. So you have to make sure they have a separate SID. There's a tool to assign separate SIDs to the guests. So that's one of the gotchas that the always on won't work if you are just replicating machines without each one having separate SIDs. So some of the things to know: you have to obviously install SQL 2012. You have to have the Windows cluster. You enable the always on through the SQL Configuration Manager, which is a little bit tricky. Just to know that that exists, so we'll cover that. If you are having problems, you want to go to the Windows event log to kind of debug things. And another thing to be aware of is that you want your SQL Server service to be running under a highly privileged logon that has permissions to all of the cluster nodes and the nodes in the availability group. And that's why I use a domain admin. It doesn't have to be that way, but if you just run it under the standard SQL service login, it probably won't work. We talked about having separate SIDs for each of the Windows machines, so I'll skip that. If you're creating an availability group listener, you want to have the when you're creating the availability group listener, you want to make sure that you have permissions to create resources in Active Directory, because otherwise it won't work. And I guess I'll add to this that the port is 1433 for the listener. So we'll say 1433, as well as I used DHCP. Now I think you can use a static address as well, but for my purposes, I was able to get away with using DHCP. So, and then the last thing is as you're creating availability groups, when you create the databases that go in those availability groups, you want to make sure that you're backing up those databases first. It'll throw an error if you don't, so it's not a big deal. But let's go over to I have a domain controller running in this environment. I also have the ability to kind of look at my Active Directory users and computers. As we create availability groups and listeners, especially the listeners actually show up in this computers list. So I had one in here before, I just deleted it manually, but that's something to be aware of. I'm going to go into here too, and I have an availability group with a listener that I had created called Z, and I'm going to go ahead and delete this. You can see that it's restoring to node 2 down here as well. So I'm going to go ahead and just delete all this stuff. And what we're going to do at the end of the process is we'll see something very similar to what we're seeing now here. So let's go ahead and delete this. And what I'll do too is I'll just go ahead and delete all the databases in general. And we'll kind of start from scratch and create everything new. So let's go ahead and delete everything here. And what we'll do then is I'll show you that we really need to create the databases with a backup. So let's go ahead and say new database, database one. So we'll create, say, three databases. And then we're going to add two more replicas to this. And a replica is just a fancy name of saying we're going to add more cluster nodes to these. So in the availability group. So let's go ahead and back this up. And we're going to have to do this for each of our three databases. That's part of the requirements of the availability group. And then we're going to go ahead and start creating the availability group, because we have the different nodes in the cluster. All right, so we're done with this. You can see we have three nodes here right now. We have node 1, node 2, and node 3. If you go to the SQL Server Cluster Manager, over here, let me pick the right one. So we have three nodes in our cluster. You can see there's nothing that's showing up right now as resources, so that's good. I've also got the Windows event log opened up. I was having some problems last night, and the problems were that I was having connect permissions because I didn't have the login correct on my configuration manager. So you always want to make sure that you check the login here. The login is I put it as a domain admin. It's probably not required to be that significant, but you're going to have permissions issues if you can't kind of cross the network with significant permissions. Also, a little bit of a gotcha or a hidden gem here is that to get always on to work after you set up the SQL cluster or the Windows cluster rather, you have to enable the always on availability group. So if you don't do that, nothing's going to work. So we've created the Windows cluster, we've installed SQL 2012, we've enabled always on here. Our log on is going to be for me, it's the domain log on. We're going to look at any kind of problems again through the app, the event viewer in Windows. And again, the way to get to the event viewer is if you go to administrative tools and you want to look at event viewer, that's here. If you wanted to get to the SQL Server configuration manager, that's actually under configuration tools right here. So we've done that. We've got the correct SIDs for the virtualization. So let's go ahead and start creating our availability groups here. So we've got database one, database two, database three. We're going to come in here and create a new availability group through the wizard. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's call it avail MSDN channel 9. Avail MSDN channel 9. So we're going to come through this. We've got all our three databases are enabled for the prerequisites because we did the backup on it. And let's come in through here. We're going to add replicas. So let's go ahead and add node 2 and node 3. So again, all these three nodes are part of our Windows cluster. What we're going to do now here is I'm going to set these first two up for a failover partner. If I click the third, I can't click the third because you can only have up to two here. We can have up to three synchronous partners, and so I'm going to say let's just make all three of these synchronous. If not, it's asynchronous. So we can make node three asynchronous if we want for performance reasons. Maybe it's far away. And then this is readable secondary. So you might want to say one is readable and one has read intent only. And you can see kind of the descriptions down here for what those are. This is the endpoints that it's going to create when we set this up. And under the account, it's going to be encrypted as well, which is great. And this is backup preferences. You can look at the different options here and see kind of what preferences that you want to set up. I'm just going to go with the defaults. And then we've got the listener properties here as well. So hopefully this kind of gives you an idea of the different options you get when setting up an availability group. This is the shared location. Again, because all the SQL Server logins have permissions to this directory, that's where the logs are going to get shipped. So we're just going to stick with that. And at this point, what we're going to do is going to check the validation here. I've got a warning about the listener. And because I didn't specify a listener, it's not going to create that. So that's okay. It's just a warning. So you can rerun it if you want. If we had wanted to, we could have created a listener in an earlier step. And I think that was right here. So what I'll do in this case is I'll create a listener and I'll create on 1433 and I'm going to make it DHCP. So let's go ahead and try that. Now, when we create that, or if it works successfully, and what we're going to see is that it's going to show up in our Active Directory computers here. So keep an eye out for that. We'll come back to our node one. We'll go ahead and run through this. Again, we've already done this part. Now the listener configuration is good. We could rerun the validation if we wanted to, if we had changed something behind the scenes, and just go ahead and hit next. You can also do a script here if you want, and it'll script out the entire creation process that you can kind of look at. And you can kind of walk through this from a T-SQL standpoint if you wanted to kind of see what was going on. You're having issues. you could walk through this whole piece here. If you were going to run that, you would also want to run the query in SQL command mode if you're going to run this. So you can see it highlights the kind of reserved words and things like that. So what we're going to do though is we're just going to stick with the new availability group wizard. So hit finish on that. In a perfect world, what we're going to do here is this will run through and it's going to create this listener properly. Once this is created, we're going to have all the resources that we need to have an availability group, and it's just going to work the way that we want it to. So now the wizard finished. We have success for just about everything. We have a warning about the way that the quorum is going to vote. That can be solved by changing the quorum configuration, but for right now, it looks like we've got a lot of success in how we set things up. So we're going to kind of see the results that we had here. You can see now that we've created this availability group, we've got the three replicas, node one, node two, and node three. And we've also got a listener, which is really nice. So now we can go connect to a database the listener as if it was a SQL Server instance itself. And what we're going to do now is see that this listener here has all the databases running, and we can do things like connect to it. So let's do a select at server name. And this is going to show us that the server name is node one. If we come in to fail this, if we found a failover now, we could see that if we wanted to fail over this availability group, we can do that. So let's fail it over to node two, and that's on the synchronous commit. When we do that, what's going to happen is because that listener exists in Active Directory, it's going to be smart enough to kind of be globally aware that this listener is something that kind of can transcend the network. So here's our listener in Active Directory. If we go back to our node one, and what we're going to do here is we're going to connect to node two. So let's go ahead and connect to that in this failover process. And this is a new feature in RC0. We're going to go ahead and fail this over, finish. Now that we're failing this over, when we go back to the listener and check the server version, what we're going to see is that server is now located on node two. So that failover wizard has completed now. If we come back into our listener here, if you look up at the IntelliSense here, it says listen. If we run this, now we see that the listener is on node two. If we wanted to be a little bit more devious, we could have kind of come into and through our Windows Cluster Manager, and we could have failed it over that way. You can see too that when we look at the availability group, it's got this resource called Listen, and that's the listener that we have, and also shows the availability group here. What we could do is take it offline here if we wanted, or we know that node 2 now owns this availability group, so if we wanted to, we could come in here and move this service back to node 1. So let's go ahead and do that. It's going to go ahead and move that. It's going to be it's a little more disruptive, I guess, than the SQL Server way because it just says, hey, we're going to move this over from the cluster manager. But look, it's up online. If we go back into our SQL Server now and we want to run kind of where this listener is pointing to, it should be pointed back to node one. Run that. And so we see that now node one is the active node. And that should be kind of a full 360 view of kind of what we talked about. Again, if you're configuring an always-on cluster, you want to make sure that it's a Windows cluster, that you've installed the latest version of SQL 2012, that always-on is enabled through the Configuration Manager, that all the problems that you have, you debug through the Windows event log, and you ensure that the SQL Service domain privileges, probably you have a domain user that runs the service for all the cluster nodes. And that if you're using virtualization, you don't have problems with the SIDs. If so, you might want to use a tool that changes that. And the listener has to exist in Active Directory, so you have to have the permissions to create that. If you don't, then it's going to fail. And just remember to back up your databases before creating availability groups. So hopefully you've enjoyed this SQL short. This is Mike Wilmot with Microsoft. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me and let me know what problems that you're having. All right, take care.